Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start by saying how weird it is to not have to do everything in this service. I keep finding myself wanting to jump up and announce things, but I don't have to because it's your job. Over the next 4 or 5 weeks, you will be hearing again and again and again about bread. This is probably one of the most difficult series of texts, I think, in the lectionary year, because I eventually run out of things to say about bread. There's just only so much you can say. So in a moment of real generosity, I said I would preach first on bread. Good luck later. Well, you know, this text immediately follows the feeding of the 5,000. So that Jesus and the disciples have been up on the hill, and what are we going to feed these people? And they fed them the bread and the fish, and they fed 5,000 people with it. And then Jesus says to the disciples, we should move on. We should go to a quiet place. We should go on. And so Jesus took them to Capernaum. And so they got into the boat, and they headed for Capernaum. Well, naturally, the crowd who had just had a nice meal, a miraculous meal, an amazing moment with God, they follow Jesus and the disciples. And they go to the other side of the sea, and they find him there, and they ask the rabbi, "When did you come here?" And Jesus says, very truly, it's actually amen, amen. I wish they wouldn't change that. Amen, amen, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the bread. You're like teenagers following your stomach. Sorry to include you again, but I have found over the years, you put a bag over your head, it's okay. I have found over the years that the best way to get my son to come home is to call him and say, "Hey, I'm making steak." We all, in a sense, some of us more than others, follow our stomachs, right? I mean, it's one of those primal drives within us. Hunger will make you do all kinds of amazing things. And so the people of God follow Jesus because they're thinking, Jesus says, "You're following me because I just gave you a free meal." But don't work for that kind of food because it doesn't last. In this text, Jesus begins to change the paradigm of what it means to be fed, to be full, and to be satisfied. Remember back to the story of the people who are in the wilderness. If you remember the story, God says, "You know, Moses, I'm going to do an amazing thing, and I'm going to feed the people as a," do you remember what the word was? It's a test. It's a test. We forget that. I don't think God really cares that they're hungry so much. He says, "I'm going to feed them, and it will be a test to see if they will be obedient." So there's conditions on the bread. Moses says to the people, "In the morning it will come, and it will rain down the manna from heaven, and you are to go, and you are to gather an ephah, one measure, enough to feed you for the day." Just enough for the day. That's all you're allowed to gather. And so there's all these cute little rules, and you're supposed to go out there, you're supposed to scrape it all up, and you're supposed to have just enough for the day. What do you think people did? Well, if I can get one day's worth, I ought to get 7 days' worth, because we never know. God might not show up tomorrow. So the people tried to gather more than they needed for the day. Do you remember what happens to what they gather? It spoils. Maggots start crawling through it. They fail the test. And not only that, in the next story that's coming up, they say, well, you know, the bread is just fine, but we want meat. So God sends them quails. Ever had a quail? I think that's another one of those gifts of God that wasn't that great a gift. I grew up in Arizona. They hunt quail there, right? Because we have plenty of them. The problem with a quail is it takes more calories to eat a quail than you get out of a quail. The people are never quite satisfied. God gives them bread, and they don't like it. God gives them quails, and they make such a mess, and there's so much trouble. No matter what happens, the people are not satisfied. So Jesus says to the people who are gathered there, don't work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Wow. So what is that bread of life, that food that never perishes? You know, in so many ways, our society today, nothing's changed over the last few thousand years. It's still so often, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone else, no matter how much I have, there's got to be more, right? There's got to be more. You know, I was so happy when the iPhone came out. Until the iPhone 2 came out. And then I thought that was really cool until the 3GS came out. In fact, our whole retail market, our whole kind of economy is pretty much based on convincing you that if you happen to like baked beans, that's fabulous. But what you really need are Bush's grilling beans. Because real good people don't eat just plain beans. They eat not 99 cent beans, 2.99 grilling beans. You've arrived when you finally have a 4S iPhone. Or an iPad 2. Except now, there's an iPad 3. You see what I mean? No matter what we have, no matter what we get, there's always someone or something, or maybe it's something in us that says you need more. More stature, a better job, a better church, a more famous kind of relationship. No matter what it is we have, we keep wanting more because we've not learned what it means to be satisfied with the bread of life. We get confused, I think, in the same way that the people of Israel get confused about what it is that brings us life. The word Jesus uses is zoe, life. But it's true life, not just the ordinary stuff. You all know people who are just alive, but then you know people who are living. I watched the most amazing thing on television the other day, which aren't that many amazing things, but it was related to the Olympics. And you're all used to the Olympics, Michael Phelps. 17 gold medals, or what is it now, 19, 27, 22, no, 22 medals, 19 gold, whatever it is, right? They had hot dog eating, I'd be a multi-millionaire. But in this wonderful segment, they highlighted some more mature athletes, right? There was an 82-year-old woman on a trampoline doing backflips. Not just one, but like a whole group of geriatric gymnasts flipping and jumping and running and doing all of this stuff. They were living people. I was totally blown away. I mean, look, I'm 51. Get me on a trampoline. There's some serious issues going to be happening. You have to have a trampoline and a cardiologist, one right next to the other. But here's these 80 and 85-year-old and 90-year-old, mostly women, by the way, sorry, guys. And they are having the time of their lives. Not because they want more, but because as he talked to one of the women, she had just decided, I want not just to remain alive, but I want to live. To find depth and meaning. And what seemed to be the case in every, they just exuded what I think is the greatest gift that we receive in that bread and in the bread from heaven. The true bread of life is God's love. Love. It seems so crazy, but I keep craving a new, by the way, if any of you has a spare mini Countryman, that's what I want. I don't need one. I want one. But it is not going to make me happy for very long. But when I eat this bread of life, when I refocus on true life, that has nothing to do with stuff or stature, then I find out what it's like to be full, to be filled. See, part of what is wrong, or maybe part of our problem, is that we keep hungering for what does not feed us. We keep aching for what does not satisfy us. In the end, what most of us want and need and desire is as simple and as deep and as impossible as being loved. And I think that's the gift that we receive in Jesus that we sometimes miss. We miss that our hunger has nothing to do with stuff. That the empty part in us has nothing to do with food or fortune or fame. It has to do with wanting to be known that we are loved for who we are. And you see, it is that God's graceful love that God pours out in Jesus that is that true bread from heaven. When we have that sort of settled into our bodies and into our souls and into our minds, maybe the rest of it seems a little silly, a little trite. You see, what's that bread that's coming down from heaven in Jesus Christ is not fleeting or temporary or stopgap like the manna for the people of Israel. It's not like that, that they received so that they could get to where they were going. God has rained manna from heaven, and it dwells among us, John says. This is real food, the love of God. And so you, as the body of Christ, will come and you will feast upon the bread. And from that tiny little morsel of really, really good Stella's recipe bread made yesterday, you're not going to leave with your bellies full. but you can be satisfied. So satisfied that you can take that bread of life. You can be that bread of life for the whole world. Well, I got to tell you, all of that is far better than my mother's manna casserole. When you come up here and you receive that bread, you will not have to say, "What is it?" You already know. It is God's gift for you. Amen.